gentlemen, welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast, the NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate to come on FanDuel. My name is Sean Kane. I am your host. We are here on the Friday episode, Friday, April 7th here, coming off a nice little Thursday night slate. The Lineup Logic fam doing real nice work out there in NBA DFS. A lot of guys doing good stuff. Really, really happy to see, some good work happening for the Lineup Logic family. Always nice to see that little L represented in the in these entries here. Seeing that a lot out here, and some really good lineups from guys. I'm really, 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 really happy. Myself, I'm sweating out this Blazers game. God, I wish CJ McCollum would make a shot. he just can't get it going right now. But I know I'm not the only one sweating CJ. It's going to be a, that was the ESPN window. I was checking the score. It's going to be a close game. I mean, right now, freaking Minnesota just came out so strong. Andrew Wiggins hit 5 of 5 in the first 4 minutes of the game. So, and Dame did the exact opposite. He went 0 for 6. So, kind of a tilty moment if you are a Blazers fan. But we're sweating this one out as well, sweating out a little bit of MLB. If you're not getting in the MLB action, man, you got to get in there. There's some really, really good stuff, good insight there tonight. You know, we were on some of these dingers. We were on some of these dingers tonight for sure. You know, really, really, really nice night in MLB for Lineup Logic. Guys are still sweating out the end of this Arizona-San Francisco game, but pretty cool. But in the next hour or so, we're going to preview the night to come, the NBA spreads, injuries. We'll do a breakdown of players to target on the slate upcoming. I'm going to skip the line recap right now since we're still in action here. But I am going to go ahead and jump straight into the Vegas lines for the Friday night slate. All right, so we have a nice, I think it's 8-gamer, if I'm correct, 8 or 9-gamer here. And that starts with Miami at Toronto, 208 total here. This is a playoff viable game, but definitely a pace down situation. Not a great fantasy target, going to be a high defense affair. And a lot of players just priced up with kind of unclear usage situations. So not my favorite target for fantasy purposes. Kyle Lowry with the massive re-entry here, doing great work the other night against Detroit, but they still lose that game. I talked about it. It doesn't make sense. So I don't know how many shares of that game I want. I think it's GPP viable as well because I'm probably not the only one avoiding it. Atlanta at Cleveland, 213 total here. Cleveland favored by 9. Atlanta coming off that massive win against the Celtics. The Celtics struggling in back-to-back games here. Paul Millsap came back with a vengeance, but he's going to rest that knee tomorrow night against Cleveland. So you like the Cavs in this one. Should be an easy W for them as they continue to grow that lead against on Boston. So I would keep my eye maybe on a Kevin Love. Seems like he could be a rest candidate, you know, with no Millsap in the lineup, and the Cavs could probably beat the Hawks without Kevin Love. But maybe it's not really a all-out rest situation as much as it is a just, you know, limited minutes for Love. So I'd be careful what you wish for in this one, but I definitely see Bron going full minutes. I definitely see Kyrie getting full minutes. They're healthy. It's just a question whether or not Love gets those minutes. Of course, Tristan Thompson out, Channing Frye going to get the start. So Channing Frye opened up a great value right there. Detroit at Houston, 223 total here. Houston favored by 12. I mean, this should be a blowout. Detroit just doesn't have it right now, and they definitely can't shoot with Houston. I see Houston easily taking this one. I don't think we have too many injuries that we're worried about. I think the thing you're worried about really is the Detroit rotation just is so hard and muddy to figure out because Van Gundy really isn't playing any of his starters. any serious minutes. So a game that has some interest for me for some of your value guys, but not really much beyond that. That one is definitely on my blowout risk watch here. New York at Memphis. The Knicks are just playing well right now. Strangely enough, they're playing really, really well. They are, you know, staying in all of these games, making them competitive. They just went down to the wire with the Wizards tonight. I thought for sure we might have a little bit of a blowout watch there. The Wizards take it out, but, you know, I mean, you got to believe that the Wizards didn't want to have to play their starters all the way down the stretch, but they did because New York stays in it. Kristaps Porzingis, he's questionable, the back injury. Mike Conley should be back from that eye injury, and as well, Marcus Saul back as well with that foot. He's back in it. We don't have a spread on this one because we're waiting on Kristaps' news. So we'll see what we get in this New York Memphis game. But some interesting spots to target. Guys are priced fairly. I think that's why you like guys in this game for sure. San Antonio at Dallas. This one is just the massive rest everywhere. Only a 189 total here, and San Antonio favored by 4, which I mean is just ridiculous. No LaMarcus, no Kawhi, probably no Dirk, you know, and then also you have no Manu and no Danny Green. So you have like an 8-man rotation in San Antonio with Kyle Anderson, Dwayne Dedman, David Bertans, David Lee. Really slow game, but definitely interesting to target some of these guys in San Antonio who are going to get a lot of run, you know, Kyle Anderson and you know, Jonathan Simmons, probably Dwayne Dedman is going to get some good run here. So there's some interesting value targets in that game. But that's about it. You know, and on the Dallas side of the ball, I think Seth Curry's still out with that shoulder injury. So we got to keep an eye on that. But on the Dallas side, I mean, we're just not playing Dallas right now. They're just not worth rostering in fantasy. Minnesota at Utah. No line here. Waiting to hear about all the finals injuries for Utah in this one. But Utah, Minnesota coming off the road back-to-back here. For me, with no, you know, questionable tags on George Hill, and what's his name? Rodney Hood, unlikely to play. All these guys, you know, unlikely to play for Utah. That means just give me all the Rudy Gobert. You know, I don't mind Gordon Hayward either, but definitely give me all the Rudy Gobert here in this situation against poor Karl Anthony Towns defense. Really interested in that spot for Rudy at home coming off a rest. Minnesota on the back-to-back. I mean, it's all adds up for Rudy. New Orleans at Denver. This is a rematch here. 229 total here. Denver favored by 6. DeMarcus Cousins is the one we're keeping an eye on. He's got the Achilles, I guess a sore Achilles, so they may rest him. Denver really fighting for that spot in the 8 seed. Gosh, they would really love to see the Timberwolves take a dive here and struggle. But, you know, I mean, I just, it's hard for me to believe that the Wolves are going to really get taken out of this game. Down by 9 right now, but you really have to think they're going to be able to try to fight their way back into this one and try to make it a game here. I just don't see them giving up on what should be a W for them. So, you know, the Wolves, the Nuggets, however, have a little bit more control. You know, they're favored, they're at home, they're coming off a rest. They just beat New Orleans the other night, but this game is definitely a delicious fantasy target. Stack it up, you know, get some shares of that one for sure. And then OKC, Phoenix, 225 total here. OKC favored by 7 on the road. Of course, this one also an excellent, excellent fantasy target. Gotta love the OKC, you know, Russ, obviously, in this matchup. The man is just a machine. He's absolutely unbelievable right now. So love me some Russell Westbrook in this situation, and I don't see why you wouldn't. You know, and then, of course, on the Phoenix side of the ball, you just have such a tight rotation that it's really, really, really a nice fantasy target as well. You know, you got Tyler Ulis and Devin Booker and TJ Warren all getting tons and tons of minutes. Marquise Chris, tons and tons of minutes. So, you know, those guys are absolutely in play. Tyler Ulis, one of my favorites. Sacramento at the Lakers. Who knows who's going to rest for Sacramento? There's no line out in this one. But, you know, they've been resting so many of those guys, you know, resting Ty Lawson and Anthony Tolliver and all those guys at different points just to get those young guys some runs. So definitely look to see maybe some rest candidates out of Sacramento. And the Lakers trying to tank, but they can't tank. Like, they're bad at tanking, which is unbelievable to me and hilarious. You know, they should be losing pretty much every single game that they possibly can. And they went out and they beat the Spurs and they beat the Grizzlies, two of the best defensive teams in the NBA. Does not make a lick of sense, but hey, I guess they're playing hard. Get one for the Gipper type situation. I'm not really sure, but that's what we got, guys. Some really interesting games, some not so interesting games. Highest totals here: Detroit at Houston, Atlanta, Cleveland, New Orleans, Denver, and OKC, Phoenix. But of course, like I said, not terribly interested in the Houston side of things there, unless you want to try to target some of the value guys in this Detroit game. It just, that one has blowout written all over it on. So, you know, some good games to target. But I think, you know, Josh and I were talking about this on the show. It's GPP season, guys. I mean, crash games right now are just a mess. And I think it's fair to say that it is time for us to hammer GPPs and take advantage of the variance. And, you know, the more and more that we're watching this, these weird performances, you know, Jerry and Grant goes 10x, all this kind of crazy talk. You know, I mean, I think you just have to basically hammer cash games and be okay with cash games, you know, or hammer GPPs and be okay with the variance and lower your exposure. You know, a lot like our strategy in baseball, is, you know, cast a wide net because you never know who's going to hit those dingers. And Jake Lamb just hit one for me, which is fucking awesome. Just threw me up into contention here. Really, really, really nice to see Jake Lamb doing some work there in this GPP that I'm in. He's going to make my night a lot better. Hopefully this, I really hope this Arizona-San Francisco game shoots out a little bit. That would really make things nice. You guys just came across me coming across the Jake Lamb dinger. I'm so pumped right now. That was huge. Three run homer. I mean, golly, that was nice. Not to mention, I already had me some Mitch Haniger. Great baseball name, Mitch Haniger. George Springer had him, and Goldie had a really nice game. And of course, Stroman had one of the better pitching games of the night. So just pumped, like right now, just pumped about baseball and embracing the variance for sure. You know, and okay with the variance. And I think you have to do the same with, NBA right now, because it's really hard to predict which value guys are going to go off. It's just really, really, really difficult. So don't try to predict it, you know, be smart about it and really, you know, like I said, cast a wide net and embrace the variance, you know, and have a little bit more fun with it. So that is it. I have brought Josh Fernandez on, my man, my friend, and yours, on for the player breakdown. So let's not waste too much more time. Let's get in there and let's break this slate down and figure out who we love on this Friday night NBA slate. Who do you love? All right, let's jump into the player breakdown here. Of course, it is Thursday night. That means that I have a date with Professor Fernandez. Josh Fern, how are you, my friend?
A date, you say?
A date.
I'm a lucky boy.
I don't know.
Sorry, listeners. I'm good, Sean. I'm doing really well, man. I'm just really happy that baseball has started up here. Enjoying that. I was watching a little bit of my horrible Masters lineups that I rolled out this morning. I don't know what the hell I'm doing there. I know Kingsguard is like the golf professional around these parts.
Kingsguard is raking right now.
Oh my God, man.
Scott is doing work. We don't want to jinx it. We're not going to talk about it too much.
No, zip that up. Scott is doing
work.
Well, I'll have you know that if bogeys were good, my golfers would be killing it right now.
Josh, if bogeys were good, I would be on the fucking tour, brother.
Yeah, well, speaking of golf and baseball, we still have basketball, apparently. Yes. It seems like a year ago that we were like all encompassed with basketball, and now we're like overloaded with all these other things going on. The NFL draft is coming up soon.
What?
I know, man. In like 3 weeks. God.
Yeah, March Madness is over. The NFL draft is coming up. All I can think about is Woba versus left-handed pitchers and Park Factor and Stack. So we were talking about Stack and the Strohs and where are the Colorado Bats. I mean, all of these baseball things are just like, and then we're like, oh yeah, Russell Westbrook, 73 points against Memphis. Who cares? God damn it.
Right, right.
Listen, here's the thing. There's still relevant basketball out there. And like, I almost wish that we could just fast forward to fan mode and be, you know, in the playoffs here and watch the playoffs, because I've just been feeling like I'm twiddling my thumbs waiting for these awesome playoff matchups to happen. But alas, we're not there yet. We still have regular season ball, a couple more games here. And we got a decent Friday slate, though. You know, honestly, Josh, like for DFS, you know, it's worth playing, you know. And I've said this a couple times, you know, late in the season, you know, you throw a couple GPPs out there for funsies, you know, don't hammer cash games, because ownership numbers are so high on these guys that if you're in or you're out, there's so many value players. It's a lottery ticket every single night. I mean, were you on Jerrion Grant?
No, I was not on Jerrion Grant at all. In fact, in my GPP, I haven't looked at it in a few minutes. I'm in the $2 single entry block, and my ownership percentages are like 42% Elfrid Payton, 40% Giannis, 40% Lua Wu, 59% Butler, 53% Gordon, 15% for Jason Smith. And I'm sure that Carl Anthony Towns is going to be like a bajillion percent owned. Surprised Torian Prince was. Yeah, actually, you're probably right. He's probably
going to get low-owned. Towns. I think you get Towns below 20%, but
you think
definitely
so?
Above 10%. Yeah, I do. I do think he will. Okay. Yeah,
I got the GOAT Ron Baker at 9.8%.
Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, man, that haircut is very 2008 Bieber-esque.
Oh yeah, man, get that guy a Lax helmet. Let's put a Lax helmet. Anyway, all right, we gotta stop talking about Ron Baker's hair. Let's break down this slate.
Let's do it, dude.
I'm gonna take point guard and small forward. You got shooting guard, power forward. We're gonna start at the top of the slate here. Sort through the studs. It's not hard here, Josh. It's an easy decision here when you're staring at Russell Westbrook against Phoenix. I mean, he's 13-5, but like, give me a break. He was 13-6 against Memphis, and he went for 73 points. The man is a machine. He's beyond human. He had 80 against Phoenix last time out, and they lost that game. Remember that? That was terrible. Man.
I don't know what the deal is with this team, man. They're like,
I don't know either. I mean, like they look great sometimes. They do blow out the Bucks, and then sometimes they just don't even show up. It'll be interesting, but I think you have to think about Russ here in this spot. You know, projected at 13-5, you're projecting him for just over 65 points. That's not crazy, okay? And the six of the last 10, he scored above 60 points, twice above 70 points. And Phoenix is bottom three in DVP to the position. They're allowing 26 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists. I mean, that's a great line for anybody. Like, you would take that line. That's like a 40-point line, but, like, it's Russ. So add 10 to everything. you know, I think there's also a little bump here. No Roberson, no Abrines. That doesn't necessarily affect Russ too much, but Roberson not on the first unit kind of makes me think that this game could shoot out a little bit more. Not the quality defensive shutdown guy there to stop the wings on the Sun, stopping Booker or Warren. So, you know, maybe they give up a couple extra buckets with Phoenix and this game stays a little bit closer. I mean, hell, Phoenix shot out with the Warriors the other night. And I said that. I was like, you know, if this game shoots out, which it could, because there's no good defense out there for the Warriors, you know, you have the same situation here. Russ in a shootout going four quarters against the Suns, giving him whatever they want, 140 points. That's a great situation. You want to be a part of that. You don't want to say, I'm going to fade him just for the sake of, you know, price here. So I think Russ is definitely in play. I think the pivot, though, is Kyrie at 8-5. Kyrie always goes under-owned, which with good reason, because he's so damn inconsistent. But he did have that massive 60-pointer against Atlanta last time out. He's priced really well right now at 8-5. Asking him just to break 40 is not crazy for Kyrie Irving. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see like a Kevin Love rest day to get that knee taken care of, especially if Boston loses tonight, which they're currently losing to the Hawks, which is craziness. But wow, welcome back Paul Millsap. Isn't he the one that makes everything go? Kyrie, I think, is an interesting pivot at 8-5, but I just don't see any reason not to play Russ.
Yeah, that's a great call. I don't either. I mean, as soon as I looked at this slate, every time I look at a slate with the Thunder on it, as soon as I look and see who they're playing, like, my eyes light up and I immediately say, I mean, this is a cash lock situation. Right. If I'm playing cash games, it's really, really hard for me to fade Russ in this situation. So that's a great call.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to hop into shooting guard. And this one is a little slightly different. I mean, a similar player in ability level and production and efficiency, and that's James Harden. We do get a nice $1,400 savings at 12-1. But unlike Russ taking on Phoenix, Jimbo's taking on the Detroit Pistons. Now, it looks like that Jimmy, he's past the wrist injury. That one definitely seemed to hamper him a bit over the course of a few games. And when I say hamper, I think it's kind of funny because his hampered performance is him getting like 40 points, which is an awesome outing for most guys. But for him, we don't want 40 points ever. You know, that is well below value for Harden, and that's not going to cut it. But, you know, it looks like he's good. It looks like he's back to normal. So I don't see any reason why, you know, he isn't going to be at full health and full efficiency. So he does draw a tough DVP matchup in this game. As most of us know, the Pistons play some tough defense, some tough team defense. And at the shooting guard position, especially, with Caldwell Pope, Detroit's not going to be heading to the playoffs, but you know, they're still playing tough. Now here's the thing. KCP didn't play against the Raptors for, and I'm doing air quotes here, personal reasons, whatever that means. Maybe there's a Pistons fan out there that knows what his personal reasons were for not playing. Do you know, Josh, Sean?
Yeah, he got DUI last week. He got a Dewey.
Oh, man. My gosh. Holy crap. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
That was like, what was that, after a Nets game or Knicks or something?
I don't know. After the Nets game, he's like, fuck, how did we lose to the Nets?
Shit, I forgot about the DUI. Okay, so yeah, maybe they're like, all right, dude, we're done. Regardless of, you know, the circumstances behind the scenes, I mean, obviously the team and the league are pissed with KCP. Okay. But right, we don't know if he's going to play in this game. We don't know if he's done for the rest of the season. I don't see like that being out of the realm of possibility. So enough of KCP. If he doesn't play, that's great news for Harden. If he does play, who gives a shit? Harden can, you know, still put up great numbers against KCP.
Yeah.
But look, if he doesn't play, you know, let's rock and roll. Like, I don't know if you guys need me to tell you this. If you do need me to tell you this, then, you know, you got to get a little bit sharper. But, you know, James Harden, floor of 40 points, ceiling of 80 points, likelihood of 60 points. I mean, with a few games to go, looking for that MVP, trying to get a couple more epic individual performances before the postseason, you know what to do. In cash games, if you don't want to use Russ, don't feel bad about it. You know, you got some point guard value there. Lock in James Harden. You can't go wrong with him, whether he's playing the Pistons or the Nuggets. It really doesn't matter as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think similarly, we could say the same thing about Bron. Like, if you're like, I don't know how I feel about Harden against the Pistons because of pace or whatever the case may be. LeBron, 10-9, Atlanta.
That's a great segue.
Yeah, give me that, dude. I mean, and honestly, we could say the same thing. You could use the same segue to go into power forward. So just remember what I just said. LeBron, 10-9, Atlanta. He's just an animal. I don't know if, Josh, did you watch that Boston game at all last night?
No, I didn't catch it.
Oh, my God. He just literally was getting anything that he wanted. And he is, you know, we know he's banged up. We know he's tired. We know all that. But, like, he looked so good in that game. Just going coast to coast, grabbing the ball off the glass, running the floor. I think having Kevin Love back really, really makes his life easy. It just spreads everybody out. You have to respect Kevin Love in the corner, you know, and it eases the rebounding for him. And it just, the Cavs looked like they were breathing a sigh of relief in that Boston game. And I got to be honest with you, like, thinking about this, you know, they're not going to quit, first of all. They're not going to slow down. They're one game ahead of Boston. Boston right now, obviously struggling to beat the Hawks, which, like, I don't really understand, but it's a big win for the Hawks if they can pull it off, which they're leading by over 10 going into the fourth quarter here. You know, it would be the kind of cushion that would, you know, Celtics lose and then the Cavs win. That's the kind of cushion that they really need and that they really want, you know. That's the, you know, 2-3 game we're going into the last week of the season here where they can really feel comfortable with it. So I got to think that the Cavs are going to want to get this one under their belt. Atlanta, you know, just doesn't have anyone who can guard LeBron. I mean, Thabo's not there. Thabo would be the guy who would try to guard him just because of his length and size. But it's probably going to have to be a combination of, like, Torian Prince and Tim Hardaway. I mean, Paul, I'll give you one guess who wins that one-on-one game. Or Josh, I said Paul.
Who's Paul?
Paul's my friend that does all the PGA stuff.
Oh, Paul. Yeah. I've seen Paul around. Here. I've seen him on the Slack forums.
Yeah, DJ Paul. Okay. Shout out to DJ Paul.
Hey, DJ Paul. He's like Paul. I you know what? I'll tell you a story really quickly. I wished. Do you remember when you were a kid on Nickelodeon, the show Pete and Pete?
Yeah, of course I know that show.
Goddamn right you do. I loved that show so much, and I wanted to change my name to Pete. And I cried like every day for like a week to change my name to Pete. So I kind of wish you called me Pete there because I would have had like this nostalgic moment that, you know, I just didn't get when you called me Paul right there. So there's my story.
Pete great, Fernandez. But also kind of sad, and I don't know what to say to that, Josh.
There's nothing to say. That's just cool story, bro.
Cool story, bro. Anyway, all right, listen.
So what were we talking about?
We're back talking to about LeBron. LeBron in Atlanta. No one guarding him in Atlanta, okay? Currently giving up 26-9 to the forward position, right? But they're also terrible against the point guard. So, I mean, you have a point forward in LeBron who's going to take the ball up the floor. I mean, who the hell is going to stop this guy? So I see LeBron, you know, definitely in a spot for a double-double. And here's an interesting stat for you, Josh. I looked a little bit deeper about what Atlanta sucks at, because we know that they suck at the two. They can't guard shooters. It's one of the things that they're really bad at is the assisted field goal percentage. So assisted field goals made. So you see, I see a situation in which LeBron driving to the rack, collapse the defense, kick, kick, kick to all those 3-point shooters in Cleveland, you know, and he just racks up 10 assists. He goes for 25 with 10 assists and 7 rebounds. I love that situation. And I love rostering LeBron. I just love LeBron at this time of the year. So, you know, LeBron, and at 10-9, you compare him to all the other studs on the slate. That's a fucking bargain, dude.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, you know, like if you are looking at LeBron, you know, versus, say, Russ, I mean, you know, I don't think it's that crazy to say that they have, at this point in time, you know, like, I don't know if I want to say equal upside, but, you know, as close upside value-wise as you can get. I mean, you know, midway through the season, it's really hard to say that, you know, this season in particular. But where we're at now, I mean, with Cleveland just trying to hold on to that number one seed, you know, and just LeBron putting the team on his back. I mean, and now, you know, also with Tristan Thompson out, I mean, that is going to offer him a few more boards and perhaps, you know, bump up his production by, you know, 8 to 10%. So I love LeBron. I absolutely love LeBron. And like I said before with James Harden, you know, there's just so much more value at point guard in, say, like the low 7K range than there is power forward in the, or excuse me, small forward in the low 7K range. So I feel more comfortable paying up for LeBron at small forward than I do like a 10, 11, 12K or even 13, 5K point guard, you know, all things being equal.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that for sure. There's also a really, really nice stud at power forward, Josh.
Ah, yes, there is. And his name is Thon Maker. Wait, he's a center.
Okay, wait. Dude, okay, so if to the listeners who haven't actually gone, who didn't listen to the Sunday Funday episode, just listen to the first minute and a half of the Sunday Funday episode and you can turn it off. But Fern did an open that was like one of these monster truck rally commercials. Oh my God, dude. I listen to it pretty much every chance that I get. I'll listen to that again and again. And you say, what is it? You say at the end, it's like, in a Sunday slate, 5,000 all-star, Thon Maker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Featuring, what is it? Featuring Sunday slate. 4,000 all-star. I can't even remember.
Oh my God.
Dude, I just like, I drank like 3 cups of coffee that morning and just wrote that script and went in my recording room and just knocked that thing out. And it was so a beautiful. Funny. Thank you.
Rakeem Christmas and Mike Muscala.
Rakeem Christmas. Mike Muscala.
I feel like I get a Mike Muscala tweet every day. I'm like, hey, fuck you, Mike Muscala. I don't care if you're not playing tonight. I don't care.
Yeah, I know. I love some of those like random ass tweets you get from Fantasy Labs. Like so and so is inactive. Like what the fuck? Like
Omer Sheik will not play. He's been sick forever. What does he have?
They tweet about Omer Sheik every day.
Every
literally
day?
Every like, day.
Like I'm pretty sure that Omer has like bone cancer. Like he's just like
he's got to do something.
Anyway,
I used to love using some Omer Sheik back on the Houston Rockets days, though.
Dude, he played for the Bulls. He was good on the Bulls.
Yeah, man. He was on the Rockets, wasn't he? I think he was.
He was on the Bulls bench mob team. So the Bulls, when the Bulls had a bench mob, that was 1 year. They were really good when their bench was absolutely freaking awesome. And he was part of the bench mob. But anyway,
and now he's just Fantasy Labs fodder.
He's Fantasy Labs. Now we're making jokes about him having bone cancer. Oh, it's not funny. All right.
He's no Thon Maker. All right. So power forward. So you got one guy that really is like super awesome tomorrow night and then tonight, and then one that is pretty awesome. The super awesome guys, Anthony Davis, 11-3 at Denver, and facing him on the other side is Nikola Jokic, 10-1 versus New Orleans. So yet again, they square off, and yet again, they both should have awesome outings. They both just, I'm not going to look back at the game logs, but Davis, as far as I can remember, went for, I think, 53 or 54. Jokic went for 40-something. They're both in a prime situation to just kill value. I really do think, especially if Boogie's out. If Boogie's out, it doesn't just help Davis. It obviously helps Jokic as well. I mean, when Boogie is out, the Pelicans will put Dante Cunningham out there. And I don't know about you, Sean, but I don't think Dante Cunningham is that much of a threat to Jokic in the paint.
Dante Cunningham and Solomon Hill, pretty, pretty fearsome.
Yeah, they are pretty fearsome. I mean, Dante, he rocks a pretty sweet headband. And Solomon Hill has a nice patchy beard. But that can only get you so far. You know, Saul, I better call Saul, you know, I mean, that was like when I made that call of the millennium, the luckiest call of all time when he went and dropped like a bajillion points on Houston.
11X.
You know, that good fortune can only last you so long, Saul. So, yeah, I don't think that they're going to be much of a threat to the Joker in this matchup. You know, with his team out of contention, Brow is still dominating. He's actually outperformed his salary in 8 straight games. I think he's going to make it 9 straight. And with his team in win or die mode, Jokic is now finally getting serious minutes, and he's unsurprisingly producing every night. I think he's getting like at least 33 minutes in like 5 straight games. I don't see a reason for either player to return a dud. And like I just said a minute ago, like if Boogie misses the game, I mean, it's going to be great for Jokic. It's going to be great for Davis. I know a few times here, Sean, I know that a few of us have run Davis and Jokic stacks when they're both on the same same slate. I don't see that being a bad strategy in GPPs. I don't know if I'd do that in cash because there's a few decent power forward options down low. But this game, you know, should be a battle of two juggernauts at the power forward position. If I had to pick one, though, I'm definitely going to go with Davis just because he has the proven upside to get over 60 more consistently than Jokic does.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that AD is in a really good spot here, and I still like that price on him, too. I'm not 11-3, I think, is just about right for Anthony Davis, so I'm okay with that. You're asking him to do just over 55 against Denver, pace up, massive total. Yeah, I'm good with that. All right.
Now hold on a second. Oh, never mind. I was going to say, now hold on a second. New Orleans, they're not out of it yet. They're out of it.
Totally out of it.
Yeah, I just looked at the standings.
But I think what they're doing, I mean, honestly, they're trying to figure out how to play with the rotation that they have. And it's like practice, basically, for them.
Yeah, because they're definitely a threat for, you know, those lower seeds next year, for sure. If they can keep this trio together, oh my God, man. A whole season of Jrue Holiday, Brow, and Boogie.
Yeah, I mean, Crawford. The pick and roll game is going to be insane.
Yeah, man, it's going to be mighty nice to watch for over the course of a 82 game season.
All right, I think our stud center is Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is going to be playing the Wolves. And we know that Karl Anthony Towns does not play very good defense. We know that to be sure. And we also know that Rudy has been absolutely destroying and eating people alive of late. We know that for sure. And we also know that there are a number of injuries on the Utah side. George Hill likely out. There is a number of other players. I'm trying to remember who is out on. Yeah, George Hill probably out. Derek Favors probably out. Rodney Hood probably out for them. Utah, I mean, sitting, I think, pretty comfortably, if I remember here, in the
four
seed. I mean, they're half a game behind the Clippers, so they're trying to keep home court advantage. And the Clippers tomorrow night are getting, I forget who the Clippers do. The Clippers don't play tomorrow night, do they? No, they don't play tomorrow night. No, they just had that win against Dallas. So they're trying to get home court advantage, but at the same time, I think that they're probably not going to risk the health of their players for a 4 or a 5 seed. So I think they probably feel pretty comfortable with Rudy of going up against Karl Anthony Towns here in this situation. I mean, the guy, you know, is going to obviously get the usage bump. And in 5 of the last 10 games, he's gone over 50 points. You know, in his most recent matchup with Minnesota, he only took 21 minutes, strangely enough. I'm not really sure why that was. I'd have to look back at that game log. He only took 21 minutes and he only had 19 points. He must have left that game a little bit earlier. But that's about a fantasy point per minute, just about. You know, he's had a double-double basically in, I'm going to count these up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 straight games, Josh. Rudy Gobert has double-doubled.
Yeah,
multiple blocks. He's had as many as 8 blocks with games of 5 and 6 blocks twice.
Insane.
That's insane. I think he's the best center in the league. Can we say that?
I mean, he might be the best defensive player in the league.
Oh,
I mean, Kawhi has something to say about that for
center.
Sure.
Kawhi's not a center.
No, I know. I'm saying the best defensive player, period.
Oh, all right.
Defensive all players. Period.
Oh.
Yes.
Good. Now that's an accolade I can get behind. Yes, I would agree. I love Rudy Gobert. So I might, you know what? I might lock him in now, Josh. I love the man.
I mean, when Utah is thin,
yeah.
I mean, they just feed him. I mean, he can score, man. Like, yeah. I feel like there was a period of time when Minnesota was getting too Wiggins heavy, as far as I'm concerned, right before the All-Star break. And then after the All-Star break, the Wolves went on this tear. They were doing really well. They were looking like they were going to be in the race for, you know, the 7 and 8 seed with everybody else down there. Then they kind of just fell off the map towards the end here. But it all started when they said, we're just going to make this a Rubio and Towns kind of deal. And I feel like that's what it's got to be. You know, if it's George Hill, I mean, George Hill's, you know, kind of getting up there in age, you know, I mean, he's not that old, but he's on the wrong side of 30, you know, but whoever the facilitator, if it's Gordon Hayward, but Rudy can score. He can be a 20 to 25 point per game kind of player in this league.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a stud. He's a fucking stud.
I agree, and he's so young, man. He's so young.
How old is he?
I think he's like 24.
Yeah,
this is like his third year in the league.
Yeah, 24.
But I 24. I mean, that's pretty young. And especially considering his frame, like, he's big, but he doesn't have any extra weight on him. Like, he's pretty trim. He's unbelievable. Anyway, all right, enough gushing about Rudy Gobert. Let's talk about the Grout point guards here. Mid-price guys here. Jrue Holiday, Tyler Ulis. Those are my guys here, Josh. Holiday, 7'5", Ulis, 6'2". We already talked about how Boogie may be out. Jrue would be the one of the bigger beneficiaries there behind AD. You get no Boogie, one of the worst point guard defenses in the league, and you're going to give him a 25% usage rate with over fantasy point per minute. I love that. You know, at 7'5", that's a really good price. He just went for 43 against them the other night. He double-doubled. He had 18 and 13 against Denver. I have no problem with this, except that it breaks one of my rules, which is you don't chase. What's your thought about that here, Josh? Are you chasing Jrue? Are we chasing Jrue Holiday here?
Man, it's kind of tempting to chase Jrue, especially if Boogie's out, like that obviously helps Anthony Davis. I mean, it helps Jrue too. He's got the best, arguably the best DVP situation for point guards on the slate. Ownership could be down, but in cash, I don't know. I don't know if I'd chase him in cash, Sean.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I mean, if we're using Russ, are we going to be able to fit Jrue in there? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I mean, I think it's a GPP play. He goes overlooked so often, so I don't mind him at all, but you're right. It's not, I don't love chasing him, and he has such a wide range of outcomes, to be honest. So,
don't get it twisted though, man. Like when prior to Boogie coming there, I mean, we were all, Jrue Holiday was like the talk of the town, week to week. I mean, there were weeks where, he was, 30% owned many nights.
Definitely. You always had a Jrue night in every week of NBA. So,
but he's been super consistent lately. The problem is what is his upside, and I mean, it seems like, low 40s is his upside these days.
Which, for a 7K player, you're good with. It's just a question of, he also has like a floor of like 22, which kills
exactly.
You.
Exactly.
Anyway, I mean, he's no Elfrid Payton, I guess is what I'll say. Josh?
He's no Rubio,
He's no Mike Conley, I guess is what I'm trying to say, Josh.
No, but nobody's Mike Conley.
He's no Goran Dragic,
He's no Rashawn Holmes.
He's no Rashawn Holmes, that's for sure.
But again, just like Mike Conley, nobody is.
Right. All right. The other guy is Tyler Ulis. Ulis is like a cash game lock because he just gets so many fucking minutes. The kid has played like 40 minutes every single night since they sent Bledsoe to the bench. So many touches, 20% plus usage rate in the last couple games. And last game against the Thunder, get this, in 21 minutes, this was when Bledsoe was still out there. He had 20 minutes off the bench. He had a 26% usage rate, a 53% assist rate, and he had 31 fantasy points in 21 minutes. What?
That's insane.
This kid has massive upside. Yes, he struggled to hit value against Steph, but Steph is an elite defender. I just think he's super safe for cash. 30 points is always the outcome because you have a point guard who plays 40 minutes and gets tons of touches in an offense that's pace up. Mm-hmm. It's easy math. There's no reason to not play Ulis in this situation. So you add to that, you have a really good DVP here against Russ. I have no problem with going with Tyler Ulis in this situation. Absolutely interested in him for sure. What about shooting guard?
Yeah, man. Shooting guard. we got a trio, and it's Gary Harris, 6,200 against the Pels, Oladipo, 5,800 at Phoenix, and Timmy Hardaway, 5,600 at Cleveland. Honestly, I really don't see much of a difference among the three of them. they're pretty much all the same in salary. You know, looking at Oladipo, you know, it's, I mean, kind of sitting there in the middle with Harris and Hardaway flanking him. I mean, when you're talking about a couple $100, it's pretty much the same. They all have great DVP situations. You know, the Pelicans, the Suns, and the Cavs are all giving up, you know, they're hemorrhaging fantasy points to opponents. And they're all getting great minutes, you know, Hardaway to a slightly lesser degree, but he's getting minutes here with the injuries to, you know, the wings and Atlanta. And they all receive good usage. You know, they're not the primary scorers on their teams, but they get good usage, good enough usage for, you know, a grout play on the lower end of the grout salary spectrum. You like the usage that they get. I think Harris might get the edge here because his team, like I mentioned in the Jokic segment, is they're in win or die mode right now. They need to win. They want to get in the playoffs. You know, they're an up and coming franchise. They got a lot of nice young pieces, and this is, you know, even if they get knocked out in the first, even when they get knocked out in the first round, I mean, it's still a great learning experience for that team. So they want to get in. What were you saying?
They get knocked out in the
first round. Well, you know, I mean, are they going to beat if they get the 8 seed, who are they going to, they're going to get the Warriors. Like, good luck, guys. But yeah, you know, and then Oh, of course. Who wouldn't be rooting for them? Anyone outside of out of like San Francisco and Silicon Valley would be rooting for them for sure. But and all the Warriors homers all over the country, bandwagoners, shall I say?
Yes, seriously.
All right, it's ridiculous. But Will Barton's going to be out too, so that's also a bonus.
Yeah,
for Gerbert.
Gerbert is just so safe in cash. I have no problem with him.
No, totally. I love him in cash. And I love, you know, and I really like Oladipo a lot because he is the clear, far and away second option on that team. Like, it's crazy. It's like Russ is in tier one for OKC, and then there's like no tier two. And then there's Depot in tier three, and then there's no tier four, and then there's like everybody else in tier, you know, five and below. Like, so you know, like 9 times out of 10, Depot's going to be the second option. Once in a while, it's Cantor. So I like Depot too. Then Timmy, you know, I use him on the wrong night all the time. I've never used Timmy on the right night, but against Cleveland, you know, you got to feel good against the Cavs as far as him, you know, just getting a few extra field goal attempts and getting a few extra peripheral stats. So, you know, guys, like, pick your poison. Like Sean said, like you said, Sean, like, you know, in cash, Gerbert is the guy. Maybe lean towards Depot and Timmy and GPPs, but you can't go wrong with any of them. I like this trio very much.
Yeah, I that makes total sense. At small forward, it's a little less clear. It's kind of two guys that, like, I just am not that excited about, but they're both GPP viable. Like, usually I'm really excited about TJ Warren. I just don't really know what's going on with him lately, and I really prefer TJ Warren in what is a very definitively clear plus matchup, and this is not a perfectly clear plus matchup for him. Like, he just, I don't know what to say about TJ Warren. He's one of them. The other one is Gallo. And I hate playing Danilo Gallinari just on principle because he has a terrible haircut. but, like, Gallinari has to be in play. Listen to this. He's, you know, he's almost had 40 against the Pelicans last time out, right? He's getting 30-plus minutes. He takes 15 attempts a game. 10 three-point attempts per game. That's insane. Josh, Bradley Beal doesn't even attempt 10 three-pointers a game. What kind of balls does this guy have to take 10 threes a game?
I think he's just auditioning for a future small forward job at the Houston Rockets, perhaps.
Seriously. Yeah, seriously. He's like, I really want to go to Houston. Yeah. I hate them.
Wait, why did you just give him a Russian accent?
I don't know, because I tried to do Italian and it just didn't work.
I am Danilo Gallinari. I'm from Milan, Italy, by way of Russia.
By the way of Russia. He's going to be the new Ryan Anderson next year.
Yeah. I'm sure that the Rockets would not mind that whatsoever because
they wouldn't mind player. That at all. Yeah. That'd be interesting. Anyway, all right. So, I think we can go to Gallo. There's safety here. He's been performing really well. And you have a 6K player basically with no one else around or behind him in a must-win situation at home, who clearly has been producing lately. So I think you could do Gallinari if you wanted to. But TJ, my problem with TJ is I don't know where the minutes are going right now. He only had 24 minutes against the Warriors last night. I'm not really sure why. I think it was Jared Dudley heat check mode. fucking Jared Dudley went for 37 fantasy points. Did you see that?
Yeah, dude, Jared Dudley is like legit these days. I mean,
I don't get it.
He's killing it.
He was at BC when I went to BC. Mm-hmm. And he was awesome in college. Like, he was the fucking man. Like, one of the best nights of my life was when we almost beat Duke. That's saying a lot. Almost beat Duke. We didn't beat Duke, just to be clear.
I went to East Carolina University, and I don't even think we were allowed to play Duke, so.
go Buccaneers.
I remember the time when we almost beat UAB.
Oh, man. Gosh, that UAB team, they're tough.
Yeah, those UAB Blazers and the Memphis Tigers of the Conference USA.
Conference USA deserves a little respect.
It does. No, Sean, let me tell you this, though. I was at East Carolina from 2002 to 2006, and I went to a basketball game with my roommate when I was a freshman. And we sat basically courtside when ECU played Marquette. And I did not know it at the time because I'm not – and I never have been, nor am I or ever will be, an avid college basketball fan. I'm not. But I didn't realize at the time, but I was watching Dwayne Wade playing at Marquette against East Carolina. Yeah. Yeah, man.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about that. But
Maybe you were going to say like Jay Crowder or Jimmy Butler, but no.
Nope. No, D-Wade. I got some years on both those guys, Jimmy and –
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I just showed my age. Jared Dudley is my peer, and we all look at Jared Dudley and go, good God, you're still in the league?
I know, right? And you know how much money he makes a year?
A lot of money.
$10.5 million.
Oh my God.
NBA players make so much fucking money. It's insane.
I know. It is. Well, hey, Josh, let's talk about power forward real quick.
Oh my gosh. All right. Yeah. Power forward. I'm tempted to go down to like Gorgui Dieng. He's just been killing value lately. I love using him over the last like week and a half or so, just regularly getting 30 to 40 FanDuel points, couple rough games lately. But you can't blame him going against Golden State. That was a tough one. And now he's getting Utah. I don't know. I'm not too keen on using him, against Utah. So I'm going to fade, Gorgui. And then a couple guys in like the 6K range, like Zebo is kind of interesting, but I against the Knicks. But I think if I'm going a Grout play here, I'm going to go up to Kevin Love. I think that Kevin Love is back. I know that it's possible when you're listening to this. It's possible that this could be complete moot point and he could be ruled out for this one to rest. But I'm going to assume that he's going to play at this time of the recording and say that Kevin Love is a fine choice. He seems like he's returning to form now. He's getting lots of field goal attempts. He's getting lots of rebounds. And as I mentioned in the LeBron segment, with Tristan Thompson out, you know, Kevin is basically the primary rebounder for the Cavs. And I think that that is what's going to, you know, really allow him to pay off his salary of $7,600. He kind of sat there and channeled in that $7,300 range for a few games. He's since bumped up $300 to $76. I think he's still got a little room to run with that salary. I think he's more of like a low 8K player when he's healthy and he's getting his usage and his peripheral production. So I definitely want to get Love in a plus matchup, a meaningful matchup too. You know, Cleveland definitely wants to beat Atlanta, and they want to beat them convincingly. They want to get some positive outings here as they wrap up the regular season. And I want to get Love at a slight salary discount. So again, I'll reiterate, you know, I know that it's possible that Love could get rest in this one. But I'm going to assume that he is not going to get rest. And if he doesn't, then I love him. I think he's just an awesome, safe cash play. You know, if we get confirmation prior to lock that he is ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, I dude, back-to-back games with over 12 rebounds. I mean, that's really nice for Kevin Love. And I think, you know, like you said, he's the beneficiary of no Tristan Thompson for the rebounding. Mm-hmm. But I think we can also look on the opposite side of the ball tomorrow night at Dwight as a grout center, because we're gonna have no center in that game. I mean, it's gonna be Dwight. There's not gonna be any Paul Millsap. It's just gonna be Dwight and Dennis Schroeder. So I think, you know, you bump Dwight's usage back up to what we were seeing before when Millsap was out for that whole stretch, where he had numerous games over 30 points. He had a 40-pointer. He had a 39-pointer. You know, I just love the rebounding upside with no other center on the opposite side of the ball. I think Dwight is definitely in play.
And also, you know, I keep in mind, too, like, Love and I guess now, like, the default center, Channing Frye, like, they don't really hang out much in, like, the paint or the restricted area. You know, they kind of hang out on the peripherals, on the peripheries, on the fringe. And so I think, Dwight has, like, crazy rebounding upside for this game.
I would totally agree. Talk to me about Marc Gasol. What do you think about Marc Gasol? He had a really nice bounce back, and this price is really good for him.
Yeah. Thoughts? Yeah. Like you said, he had a great bounce back against OKC, putting up over 40 points. I'm looking up right now. 44.5 points in 33 minutes. I mean, you know, if he's active, if he plays, and I don't see why he wouldn't, even though they're playing the Knicks, like, I don't see why he wouldn't. I mean, he's going to get minutes. Like, he, you know, you don't have to worry about that. And I think that Gasol is super attractive for GPPs. Unless it's a small slate, you know, which this one is not, he goes very low owned. I mean, you rarely ever see him over, you know, 7 or 8%, you know, definitely rarely see him in double digits. So I think for a GPP flyer, you know, you can't go wrong with him. And like you said, Sean, at 7,700, I mean, I don't know what his season low in salary is. I mean, it's got to be
pretty close to that. Yeah.
You know, and the Knicks, I mean, you can't complain about getting the Knicks as an opponent.
Centers against the Knicks, baby.
Exactly. Now, the thing, though, with the situation is, you know, this game, the tip-off is... Okay, never mind. So that was my point is moot now. The tip off is at oh no, never mind. Tip off is at 8 p.m. So you might want to, I mean, if you're going to use him for GPPs in the main slate, I mean, don't break the bank, you know, because
no. And I think the other, well, make sure that he is confirmed playing. Like, he looked good, you know, in that OKC game, but in, you know, if there's any questionable tag or anything like that, be super careful.
Now on a turbo slate, if it's like an 8 o'clock turbo slate, express slate, whatever the hell it is they call it, it's probably going to be Knicks, Grizzlies, Pistons, Rockets, Spurs, Mavs. I could see people erroneously going to Andre Drummond against the Rockets. If you're doing that turbo slate, I feel like Gasol could be an awesome superior pivot, because I think Drummond is basically like checked out. Like, I think he's done.
He just isn't getting any minutes, and Van Gundy is not playing. He's playing the bench now. I mean, he's not giving anyone of worth in that. It's just not worth. Like, God, those three games that you just listed, I couldn't imagine a worse hell than having to watch all three of those games on separate screens. Like, Houston, Detroit, Memphis, New York, and Dallas, San Antonio with, is it Dallas, San Antonio?
Yes.
With no stars in any of that. Like, oh my God. Yeah. Terrible.
I mean, and you got to have some big balls to play that turbo slate in cash.
Yeah.
Cause,
I mean, the thing is about those slates is, you know, I always say this, somebody's going to make money.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, somebody has to win that money. The tournament goes up. Somebody's going to win. Those are really good spots to look for overlay, too. We should talk about that.
Yeah, definitely. We could talk about that for sure.
By the way, we missed so much overlay this morning in the Masters stuff. The overlay was insane. There was a ton of tournaments at the 8 a.m. spot that they started last night that just didn't fill. And the overlay in some of these golf tournaments was just unbelievable. So pissed when I saw Twitter. People were just like, oh my God, there's so much overlay here.
Now, that on FanDuel or DraftKings or both?
FanDuel. I don't know about DraftKings. I think people prefer golf on DraftKings. I think it's a little bit more popular.
Yeah.
But on FanDuel, the tournaments just weren't filling at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, you know, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't know. I mean, I know I play golf, but I don't follow the PGA. And it took me a minute to like kind of wrap my head around this FanDuel format of like rounds 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. But I kind of like it. I think it's a little interesting.
It definitely makes it more interesting. That's for sure.
Yeah,
it definitely. Makes
but
it more
yeah, if, for those of you that don't know what overlay is, overlay is simply when GPPs, when guaranteed prize pools. If you don't know what what GPP stands for, I don't think a lot of people do. Guaranteed prize pool.
Yeah.
It just means that whether the tournament fills or not, it's going to go.
Right.
So it's entirely possible, just, I mean, hypothetically, that a GPP with 10,000 spots only gets 8,000 people. If it got 4,000 people, it would still run.
Yep, exactly.
So if the top 2,000 spots get paid, instead of it being the top 20% cashing, it would be 50% of the field cashing, because 2,000 is 50% of 4,000. So the point is, with overlay, and this you never see this with NBA or with NFL, especially in the lower dollar contests, but you see it more with the obscure sports, and you see it with the higher dollar contests occasionally.
Yep.
And you definitely saw it much more frequently in years past. But if you can get some overlay, if you can get a tournament, even if it's only a couple hundred less people than the cap allows, that's still a couple hundred less people that you're competing with for the cash line. So like what Sean is saying here, what you're saying, I mean, that's definitely frustrating to miss out on crazy overlay like that.
Yeah, because you normally you have a 20% chance of cashing in that tournament. your chances get up to, you know, 30-40%, and the prize structure is still the same. So
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
All right, let's talk about the bargain basement here, and let's go through this one quick here, Fern. We are we're racing the clock.
Yep. Let's do it.
Point guard, obviously we have to look at Jamal Murray and Emmanuel Mudiay. If Jameer can't go, Murray and Mudiay both went for over 25 points against New Orleans last time, but it really seems like Murray has a lot more upside these days. He will be chalk du jour of the day, but it's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, because if the kid goes off, you know, which he is wont to do because he is just a pure bucket getter, Kentucky boy. You know, he got 30 minutes last time out against New Orleans. You know, the interesting thing is that he seems to be getting going halvesies with Mudiay. That's the thing people aren't realizing. Mudiay isn't as sexy and not as productive, but, you know, they're pretty much going halvesies, and whoever's hot gets the minutes, which is a Malone thing. So you got to look at both of them. I think they're both in play. The other one that's really interesting, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Bino Udre. Okay, the backup point guard in Detroit. Like, tell me that this Houston game isn't going to be a blowout. It's going to be a blowout, okay? They're going to destroy Detroit. I don't know why they're playing this game this late in the season. This is an absolute throwaway, okay? I don't see any reason that Udre doesn't get a ton of minutes down the stretch. He's basically min price. He's hit 32 and 22 points in his last two games, and before that against Brooklyn and Miami, he hit value. You're not going to get a lot of ownership on him. He distributes the ball really well, plenty of assists on that second unit. I don't see any reason that we couldn't look at Udre and say, you know what, when everybody else is going to be on Murray and Murray and Mudiay, maybe I'll go to Udre and just take the ownership leverage and hope that he outscores one of them.
Yeah, that's not a bad call. I was a big Bino Udre fan when he was on Memphis, and Mike Conley would sit out, and he would hop in there, and you know, like you said, you know, he's you know, gets a lot of dimes. He's a nice distributor. He's a consummate professional, and if he can get minutes, you know, he can get you a point per minute for sure. That's a good call. moving on to shooting guard. Two fellas there that are not strangers to anybody lately is Jordan Crawford at 3,600 at Denver and J.R. Smith, 3,900 versus Atlanta. I like them both equally, but for different reasons. Smith gets a lot of minutes, but he's mediocre as far as his efficiency goes. And then Crawford is extremely efficient, but his minutes are mediocre. I can only imagine how much Crawford could produce if he was getting, say, 30 minutes a game coming off the bench, you know. And that might be in his future for next year. Who knows? But in the end, you know, they both tend to score in, like, the mid-20s as far as FanDuel points go or fantasy points go. They return awesome value at these salaries. And they really allow you to spend up at other positions like point guard, center, and as of late, I mean, with the Jimmy and Paul George and LeBron performances, you know, small forward is suddenly turning into like the GOAT position for you know, tournament winning lineups. So they really, these two guys really allow you to do that, is spend up at those positions, which is what you got to do at this point in the season. Contextually with what's going on in the standings. I honestly don't prefer either player over the other. They're both killing it. I mean, they're just doing really well lately with the value. And the matchups couldn't be better. You know, you got to love Jordan Crawford against Denver. You know, Denver's got to win, and it's going to be a pace-up game for both. I mean, well, obviously New Orleans plays at a high pace, but it's going to be a nice pace, you know, for him. And J.R. Smith, you know, they want to win, and they're going to keep him on the floor, and he's going to get a lot of minutes, and the points will come as they do. And so I feel it's very much appropriate to pay down at small shooting guard too. And these two guys are fine choices for that spot.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I don't really have a problem with them. But, you know, I mean, I think the hard part with, you know, trying to figure out these these shooting guards, these value shooting guards, is just figuring out, you know, who's going to produce, who's getting the minutes. One guy who I see is getting a ton of good run in production is J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith still underpriced. And, you know, Fern, we attack the two in Atlanta, right? J.R., bucket getter here. I like J.R. a lot in this spot. I think he's in a good position as well.
So you prefer him over Jordan Crawford?
I mean, think about this, right? Jordan Crawford, great spot, but, like, he could get, you know, he got 17 minutes last time against Denver. Whereas for 4K more, JR's been getting 30 minutes in every single game, you know, back to back to back. I'll take the minutes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's also like the whole concern with Etuan Moore and Tim Frazier and Drew Holiday. Right. And I guess also, you know, you can throw Solomon Hill in there.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, you got a point there. You know, now if he gets 20 to 24 minutes, he can give you 20 to 24 points. But, you know, I mean, J.R. Smith, for all we know, he can get 35 minutes tonight.
Yeah, exactly. He'd get 35 minutes against Atlanta and, you know, bang a couple threes and then boom, he's at value. You know, that's a really nice spot for J.R.
Totally.
All right, small forward. There's some good value down here at small forward. And I think we have to start with Taurean Prince. Prince, I mean, the dude is going off tonight. He's playing incredibly well. He's got 30 points again, 31. He's playing incredibly well right now against Boston. He's going to get a ton of minutes again tomorrow night with no Millsap in the lineup. No Tabo in the lineup, so I think we have to look at Taurean Prince for sure as a possible target. And then, you know, with no Spurs in the lineup at all, you also have to look at Kyle Anderson. I mean, there's going to be no Spurs on the floor. They're going to give this kid some run. He's not the greatest player in the world, but you know what? If you get 28 minutes like he did against the Lakers at 3-6, he went for 22 fantasy points. It's just a minutes play. You know what I mean? And last time that all those guys sat in that Golden State game, he went for 33 fantasy points. So I like Kyle Anderson a lot in this spot as well. He's almost a lock for me. Not a lock, but like I really like him here. I think he's in a good position to pick up a lot of usage. I wish it was a better matchup. I don't love the matchup with Dallas, but I'll take it.
Yeah, I agree with you there. That's for sure.
I know you're a Kyle Anderson guy.
I am a Kyle Anderson guy. I love Kyle Anderson, and I'm excited for him moving forward, you know, in his career. You know, he could definitely be a like a serious option at shooting guard for the Spurs moving forward. You know, I mean, Danny Green is a fine player, but I mean, he's a dynamic talent, and yeah, Danny Green's old. Speaking of old guys, Channing Frye, 3,600 against Atlanta. You know, the new center for your Cleveland Cavaliers, and Larry Nance Jr., not an old guy, 4,300, against Sacramento. Like both these guys, their teams are on different paths. One is on a path to an Eastern Conference Finals, most likely. Maybe another championship. Who knows? And the other's team is on the path to another lottery pick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That said, they both look to be awesome values tonight. They both have plus matchups. They both should receive minutes in the high 20s, maybe even more, depending on how things shake out. As far as we know, Channing Frye is, for the foreseeable future, the starting center for the Cavs while Tristan's out with a thumb injury. That may or may not end his season. Not entirely sure yet. And Nance, he's basically carved out a huge role for himself with the season winding down. He's kind of emerging as a viable like stretch four in the NBA, like a legitimate talent, maybe even starting caliber. I really like him a lot as a player.
Why weren't they playing him, dude?
I mean, you know, he is more than capable of, if not starting, like being a you know, kind of having that Tobias Harris, like, you know, like big three, you know, stretch four coming off the bench, getting like 30 minutes a game. And yeah, I completely agree with you, Sean. Like the fact that he hasn't been getting, you know, significant minutes all year is baffling to me. Yeah. I don't know. And he's a pretty awesome guy too. I've seen some of his antics on Twitter and he's a pretty funny dude. He and a couple of the other fellas have been, oh my God, I just forgot his name. The center. What's the young boy's name?
LA. Ivica Zubac.
Yeah. Yeah. They've been joking on him a lot. And Larry Nance has kind of come to a point where he has a special place in my heart. I kind of like this guy. So I think I'm going to have to like kind of lock him into my lineup tonight, especially against Sacramento, like this cupcake matchup. I'm not worried about that. So at these salaries, with the context surrounding them, it doesn't appear that these players are risky picks at all. I see it highly likely that they each give 5X value at minimum, with upside for much more. Just the minutes are going to be there. The production is there. So I like them a lot for sure.
Yeah. I like that call. I also think that we could look at Scal, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
Think, you know, Scal against the Lakers, especially if we get a situation where they are resting everybody and he gets 30 minutes. I mean, that's a great on the opposite side of the ball. Scal is in an excellent position as well.
Yep, definitely. Yeah, if they rest Costa Kufos, that's huge. Scal mm-hmm. will yeah. definitely then, be able to eat know, against LA.
Yeah, I definitely see that as a positive situation here. All right, at center, I think there's one really clear value that I love, and this is just kind of because he's my guy, and that's Dwayne Dedmon. You know, I mean, we know he's going to get the minutes with no LaMarcus in the lineup, no Powell in the lineup. You definitely see Dedmon getting massive minutes here. And you know what? You add to that the fact that Dallas is one of the worst rebounding teams and Dedmon pretty much only does rebounding. You know, this is a really good position for him to take some minutes. Now, I really liked him against the Lakers, and he got 25 minutes, and he didn't score a fucking point, which was pretty tilting. But in other matchups, when he gets that starting position, you know, he can easily go for 10 and 10, and I think that that's a really good spot to target here. You know, I have no problem with going Dwayne Dedmon in this spot.
Yeah, I kind of like I want to throw one name into the ring there, and that's Tarik Black. I kind of like Tarik Black against Sacramento, you know, for the same reason as Larry Nance, you know.
Yep.
And he's just a solid veteran, you know, center that's getting some run late here in the season, and you know, at 4K. You know, I mean, in a GPP, he's a nice roster filler at the bottom of your salary scale. And, you know, it's a nice late hammer perhaps, too.
Yeah, I definitely could see that for sure. All right, Fern, let's jump in here. Let's see if we can build a lineup. Now, part of me feels like we have to go stars and scrubs just to start and then maybe see if we can balance it out.
Yeah, sounds good.
So let's just go stars and scrubs down through the lineup here, and let's start with our favorite value plays. Do you want to start with point guard here?
Yeah, let's start with point guard. I feel like, well, this isn't like way down in the salary scale, but it's, you know, it's definitely a value play for sure. I think we should start with Tyler Ulis.
Okay.
I just think that he's in such a nice spot, you know, with the minutes and the usage and, you know, the pace and the matchup, you know, with OKC. I feel like he's a great bet to, you know, flirt with 40.
Yeah, I hear that. And All right, then I think we can also take a double value at power forward, just given how much value we have down here at power forward. It's just insane. I think Channing Frye is too cheap to overlook, given his role there in the matchup with no Millsap in the lineup. You know, I think I got to look at Channing Frye in this spot. How do you feel about Channing Frye?
Yeah, I mean, he's almost Min Sal, and he's going to get almost 30 minutes, perhaps more. And, you know, one thing about Frye is that when he gets good run, I mean, like, LeBron loves to kick it out to him on the for three-pointers.
Right.
And you mentioned that before, is him driving to the hole and then kicking it out, you know, and, you know.
It's a poor man's Kevin Love.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so what would be the other value power forward that you would want to go with here, Fern?
I mean, I, you know, in my segment, you know, on power forward, on grout power forward, you know, I mentioned that it's tempting to pay down for Gorgie just because of the minutes and the reliable production. I get kind of spooked by Utah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. And I hate Serge Ibaka because – like Tim Hardaway, I can never nail down the right night to use Serge. And they're playing Miami. And there's a few other guys in like the 6Ks that I am intrigued by, but I might have to just go to my guy I mentioned in my segment and go with Larry Nance.
I feel that. I think that that's nice because now we have two guys that are pretty low priced here, and it's going to allow us to spend up in other spots. I think that at small forward, I think we have to consider Kyle Anderson, given the fact that there's literally no one else who can score on San Antonio right now. So let's get Kyle Anderson in there real quick. Okay, and now we have like a ton of value in this lineup, and we have basically 8K to spend at every single other position. So do we want to get Russ in there, or do we want to go with like Bron and, you know, Bron and then Rudy, or do we want to go maybe a Russ and a Bron? What are you thinking?
I think if I'm picking any stud right now, it's going to – And you know, now that we've filled up both power forward spots, you know, Brow is kind of out of the situation at the moment.
Yeah, I know. Maybe we could go Brow. We might be able to go back to Brow, but I think that's kind of...
You know, I feel like Frye and Nance are really safe.
Yeah.
And I like them a lot, you know, at the moment. I mean, there's a few small forward picks that are viable ones, you know. I mean, Damari Carroll and Troy Williams are decent selections there. Vince Carter, you know. But I don't know, man. I feel like Bron is going to have a field day against Atlanta, so I want to put him in there.
Okay. Let's go Bron against Atlanta.
Yeah.
And we talked about Russ. Like, we talked a big game here. I think we have to get him in there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, excuse me. You know, as our listeners should know by now, when we build these lines, we're building we're primarily thinking cash. Does it mean you can't use it in a GPP? Right. So I think, you know, if this being a cash line like Russ, for sure, I would be less tempted to use him if I'm trying to, like, completely take down a GPP. Just because it's such a big slate. I don't like using Russ on giant slates.
Right.
But let's throw him in there. I mean, there's so much value. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. All right, Russ is in there. We've got Russ and LeBron now, and we have about 6K to spend on every other spot. You know, I mean, there's still really good shooting guard value out here. We could take J.R. Smith. We could take, you know, I don't feel like we have to have James Harden in this spot, to be completely honest with you.
No, we really don't. Doesn't.
No, and I think Gary Harris is in a really good position as well. So I'm looking at Gary again for sure here.
Yeah, I'm looking right here. If you throw Gary and JR in there, you got 7,700 left over, which is enough for Dwight.
Or Marc Gasol. Yeah, I mean, Marc Gasol would be really nice in that spot. Low-owned for sure.
Yeah.
Let's start with that. Let's see. I want to see if we can do a line where we get Brow in here, and maybe it's get off LeBron for Brow, because I think you have to think about Brow if Boogie is going to sit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point.
So let's see what we can do to try and get Brow. So if we get off LeBron and we get up, I mean, who do you want to get off of? Channing Frye?
I mean, I'm thinking to get off of Nance just because of the salary, the $600.
Okay. And then you get off of, and then you have 3,900 at your other small forward position.
Well, let's put a center in first before we put small forward in. So if we put Rudy in? Nah, we can't do anything.
Yeah, we can't do that. We can't go up to Rudy. We could go down. I mean, we could go all the way down to Dwayne. You know, and then you have 8,100 at small forward.
By the way, on a side note, I like Jonas in GPPs.
Jonas Jerebko?
No. Jonas Valanciunas.
Jonas Valanciunas. Ah. Yeah, I mean, Jonas Valanciunas is another guy that's hard to get right, but he does have really good matchup history with
Hassan,
yeah, he really does. Interesting. That's a good call. Yeah.
If we threw Jonas in there, then we could get on like Ariza.
Yeah. I mean, Ariza against Detroit. I don't know.
I don't know about that. It's not like you like Ariza in those West Coast matchups where the pace is high.
Yeah, where you have all the pace. Exactly.
Right. Exactly. Right. What if at small forward, we went down to, what do we think about Vince Carter against the Knicks?
Oh God, he's so scary.
He really is.
He scares me. Honestly, I don't know if we can do Vince Carter. You could talk me into.
What about Taurean Prince?
Yeah, you could talk me into Taurean Prince. And then you kind of are, then you're in a kind of a shitty position with your center, you know?
Yeah. Well, I will say this, if we got off of JR, no, leave JR. If we got off of Gare Bear and went down to like Depot. Depot and Russ actually correlate somewhat well.
Here's one for you. I just came up with one. Go ahead. You ready? Get off of Ulis for Jamal Murray.
Uh-huh.
Then you can get in Rudy Gobert.
Oh. Sean Kane, you are
that's pretty interesting.
A smart man. So you're saying Russ, Jamal, leave Gare Bear in there.
Uh-huh.
Leave JR, Kyle Anderson, Prince, Frye, Davis, and then get Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert.
Yeah. I like that. I think
that's not bad, right?
That's kind of like an interesting that's like flirting with GPP, like very sneaky GPP upside viable.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I don't know how many people are going to be on like Kyle Anderson. Even
I don't
with
know how many
all
people
the,
are going to be on Rudy and Anthony Davis. To be honest with you,
yeah.
So
yeah, this is Duds and Scrubs like a mofo.
Yeah, it is. And it's definitely a GPP night, guys. I mean, honestly, with this big of a slate, with so much value out there, it's hard to predict. It really is a GPP night. I don't think you really don't mess around with, I guess you can go cash games because, you know, the thing is about cash games is somebody is going to win money. Like, people are, everybody, you know, that's going to happen, no question. But it's just, it's so risky to go cash out here when you don't know which values are going to blow up, you know?
And look, I think that's maybe. Look at it this way. If the NBA season was like a road trip, you know, like these last few games, you know, you're like just kind of rolling to a stop now. And
exactly,
you know, exactly. You don't need to be grinding cash games anymore at this point. And I don't know. I think it's like, you know, I just don't think that your expectations, you can have like safe expectations these days with cash games, just because everybody's going to be on like a lot of the same players here at the end of the year. And, you know, if you try to differentiate from the chalk, I mean, you can get burned seriously. I think just tiny wagers and GPPs. And if you really want to stick with NBA and like, you know, keep getting your fix of NBA, like NBA playoff DFS is legit. It's definitely something that I really enjoy. So, guys, you know, don't get crazy here. Like, if you've had a good NBA season, just, you know, put it as a feather in your cap and, you know, play a couple GPPs and send it off.
Right.
You know, I think that's
a good call. You know, get in those three entry max type situations and, you know, just kind of, you know, take what's there and move on. And, you know, it's just like, it's so hard to predict who's going to go. I mean, fucking Jerry and Grant tonight, perfect example. And Torian Prince, you know, both go for over 30 points. We were worried about Prince returning to the lineup with Millsap back. You know, and Jerry and Grant gets the start in name, but he doesn't usually play the point guard. I mean, it's just one of those things, like you can't really predict on some of these punt type teams what is actually going to happen. So I think you have to be very, very careful what you wish for in this situation.
Sean, the top scoring point or power shooting guard of the night was Marcus Smart.
Yeah, exactly.
The top scoring power forward was Paul Millsap. Jeremy Lin was the top point guard.
Yeah. It's
crazy, dude.
It is. It's so hard to predict these games, you know, it really is. And, you know, I mean, I just don't think that you don't have to force it. Be careful out there. You know, don't force the issue. And, you know, go GPP and, you know, you'll be all right.
Save your money for baseball.
Save your money for baseball, which has even more variance.
Yep. But baseball is something where you can be wrong a couple of times in a lineup, like zeros, and still cash.
Well, and that's because a lot of people are going to be wrong a couple times in a lineup, you know?
Right. Yeah. In the meantime, I am dropping. I am currently in 12th place in the GPP, the $2 single entry stolen base, MLB stolen base. I was in first place at one point, but did not use Matt Kemp. If I used Matt Kemp, I'd be in first place right now.
You know who else you missed on there, buddy?
Who's that?
Oh my God. Oh, I thought we were going to get extras in the Seattle game. We didn't get extras. And fucking Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa once again.
Nada.
Again. Nothing, dude. Nothing from those guys. But Goldie just went yard. Goldie just went yard with a solo shot, and that is really helping me quite a bit.
Well, be honest with you. I need Buster Posey to do something here. But we're bunching up. Down there. Yeah, the top of the standings are bunched up right now.
Are they?
Yeah, because everybody's on the same people. Like the outfield for tonight was Springer, Cespedes, Bautista. Everybody used it. And if I would have gotten off of Bautista, which I swear to God, like I was seriously like it was Bautista or Matt Kemp. And my rationale for Matt Kemp was the wind was blowing out. And yeah. I just, you know, I mean, I didn't like the righty-righty matchup with Harvey, but I'm thinking of Cespedes. It's getting late. I'm getting a little tired here. But Bautista, I like the lefty-righty matchup. And No, what am I talking about? I didn't like the righty-righty matchup for Kemp, but I did like the wind blowing out, and I chickened out, and I got off Kemp, and I should have stayed on Kemp because, guys, and MLB ownership is like the number one thing in the universe, like in GPPs. Yep. Like NBA, you can be all chalk and, you know, you can move your way up with one differentiation, but baseball, you need to get ownership differentiation. Same thing with football. That's like the same thing with football. You need ownership differentiation. And Kemp was my ticket, and I chickened out.
You know who's doing work for me as far as ownership differentiation in MLB? Mitch Haniger, baby. Min price, 2K, went 27, went yard.
Recommended by yours truly on the cheat sheet, which y'all motherfuckers got to get on.
Yeah, you do. The MLB cheat sheet is pretty fun. Because honestly, the combinations that we all come at it from totally different angles and totally different, you know, we have a lot of different takes and there's a lot of different opinions out there on the MLB cheat sheet. And it's really, really useful, I think, to, you know, see all of our different ideas that we have about, you know, what you can do. On a given night in MLB, and that I think is really fun.
Yeah, buddy, definitely. Well, you ready to put a bow on this thing?
I'm ready. Good luck, you guys, in your contests. You know where to find me on Twitter. Hey, Mr. Kane, Fern, where can they find you?
At Josh Fern, and please, 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 everybody, come support us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/lineuplogic. $10 a month gets you, access to a daily cheat sheet for baseball for the rest of the season, NBA. We're going to have NFL in the NFL season. Also, the access to the Slack community where we're talking DFS all day, every day. Got some nice Masters conversation going on with our resident golf experts, DJ Paul and Sean's buddy DJ Paul and DFS Kingsguard Scott. Please, and then of course you're supporting a mom and pop job, DFS mom and pop job. You know, we're not some big shots, so we would really, really appreciate it and be forever grateful.
Totally, totally. Well said. All right, guys, good luck in your contest, and we will see you tomorrow.
See ya.